Blog Talk Radio. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah.
Of the praise. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. He said that he will draw all men, not some men, but he said that he'll draw all men unto him. Therefore, the breakthrough broadcast will commit it to always to lift up the great and the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, because he is the Lord of lords and he is the King of kings. So at this time, why don't you take this opportunity to get ready to call a friend, to call a loved one, call that neighbor, call that best friend, call that person that you were talking to earlier this morning and tell them that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air. And I want you to know today that God is in the blessing business and that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And there is nothing too hard for God. I want you to know today that we're here, that you can hear from God. We're here that you can get that breakthrough that you need from the Lord. I want you to know today that the topic of our discussion, for a panel discussion today, will be Mary Magdalene, Demonic to Disciples. The study text is taken from Luke, the first through the third verse. Also, John 21 through the 18th verse. Again, it's coming from St. John, the 20th chapter, first through the 18th verse. And we would like to focus on our central truth today. It is a radical change. Life is a dynamic testimony of God's transforming power. A radical change life is a dynamic testimony of Christ's transforming power. Our key verse today would be, it's taken from Romans, the 12th chapter, at that second verse. And it reads, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The NIV version is, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and blessing will." I want you to know today that we are always excited to have with us on the Breakthrough broadcast our special guests, and they're always here in order to be able to make a difference for the Almighty God. And they're here, they're ready, they're capable, they're able to rightly divide the word of truth. I'd like to welcome our broadcast panelists today. They are as following: Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Cooper, Evangelist Jersey Spencer, Pastor Andre Spencer, Pastor Francina Shanks. We're so happy to have the anointed ones that are able to come and to rightly divide the words of truth. And today we're going to begin with the Bible said, "What you do in word or deed, do it in the mighty name of Jesus." Do it in the name of Jesus. So we're going to open up with a prayer. And our Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you to God for all that you have done. We thank you to Lord God for all, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a lamp unto our pathway. And God, thy word, how we hear in our heart, God, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you today because you are faithful. We thank you, God, today because you are righteous. We thank you, God, today because you are our high power. You are our deliverer, God. You are the one that we can call on. You're the one, God, that we can trust, Lord God. one, Father God, that make a way when it seemed to be no way. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father God, for another day that you have allowed the breakthrough broadcast, God, to be able to go throughout the world, Father God, and be able, God, to minister unto your people. God, that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed. And for this, God, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for every panelist, God, that you have given, Father God, to the breakthrough broadcast. And this, we thank you, God, we praise your name, but every listener, God, that's on this broadcast as well. And this, we give you the glory, God, we give you the honor, and Father, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and God, we thank thee. We would like to also to let you know today that we have, we told you what our topic is for today, which is Mary Magdalene, Demonic to Disciples. And our subtopic will be A Life Transformed. The second subtopic is Devoted Herald. And the last one, the last topic we will discuss is Seeing Christ Clearly. We're going to go to our first topic today, and we're so honored, again, to have with us on our broadcast with us is Pastor Eric Cooper. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Cooper to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Amen, amen, and it's good to hear you again, Dr. McCoy. Good to be amongst the panelists again. God bless you all, as well as to those who are in radio land today. God bless you all, and may God have a blessing to the readers as well as the doers of his most holy word. I'll be coming from Life Transformed, the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and I'll read. And it states that, and it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And in these three scriptures, it's just showing how the topic is life transforming, simply life being transformed. The definition of life is simply this. It's a Greek word. In the Greek, it reads this. It's a psuche. It's the vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. And transform is simply, the Greek word for that is metamorpho, to change into another form. And you know, we know that when God created man, that he breathed into the man's nostrils, he became a living soul. But after that, man was connected with God prior to sin, you know, prior to the rebellion in the garden. And once the rebellion had taken place in the garden, that sin separated man, and every man that was born after that came into the world in the form, came in as sin. They were sinful creatures, when they had a sinful nature when they came in. So as we're born into this world, we come in, we're born as sinners. But in here is showing how the three ladies is highlighted here, how they followed Jesus, and it was talking about their life being transformed. One in particular is Mary Magdalene, how it states how she had 7 devils cast out of her. And the other women also in the text is talking about how, briefly in descriptions, talking about how they had infirmities. And we all know that there are things prior to us coming to the Lord, how we had these needs, these struggles, we had these that we ourselves could not get ourselves out of. There were habits. These habits were really, from a spiritual perspective, they were actually demonic strongholds, generational curses that had been passed on from generation to generation. And we see such the same as in verses 1 through 3 about Mary, Joanna, and Susanna. And their lives also was transformed. And what it shows also is that the appreciation from being transformed. Once Jesus touches your life, I can remember back in 1998 when I gave my life to Christ, that I was never the same. I may have appeared to be the same person, but my my inward man, I was renewed, I was changed, I was born again, I was reborn on the inside, and my outlook on life became different. And can you just imagine the text how when Mary had those seven devils cast out of her, we don't know exactly what those seven devils was causing her to do. But we have some description of some of the things she did do. But we know that there were struggles in her life that she couldn't overcome herself. And when she came in contact with Jesus, all things became new. Those devils had to flee because darkness and light does not mix. And when the Lord touched her life, we can imagine how grateful she was, how appreciative she was. And she knew that he was truly the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And when somebody does something for you, even in the natural, when a brother or sister does something that you really have appreciation for, you want to show your gratitude. You want to show that you really appreciate what they have done. And in here, you see how the women, they followed and they ministered with Jesus. They ministered with their substance. They ministered with their time. They even gave sacrifice as far as things that they had in their own possessions to make sure that the ministry of Jesus Christ went forward. So I say all that to say, as Christ comes into our life and he begins to change things and we begin to walk in our purpose and the will of God, we too should take the same approach. We should have the same attitude and put forth the same efforts, if not more. We should give him all because God gave us everything when he gave us his son. So we should do the same thing. Once God touches our life and we become changed and transformed from that old creature, how the Bible talks about how old things are passed away and all things become new, we should show that same gratitude. We should be willing and ready to tell people who has changed us and testify what he has brought us out of. And these three ladies in this text, they're an example of those of showing gratitude and appreciation towards their life being transformed and being changed. Amen. So I just want to encourage the listeners today that as you seek the Lord and as you call upon his name to be saved and for him to deliver you from certain things, as you do the possible, God will do the impossible. But once you recognize that change, you owe him. How the Bible says, that we were bought with the price, and therefore we are not our own. So therefore we should live as such that we should be willing to give our all and truly show God real, true appreciation and gratification for what he has done in our lives. Amen. So I just want to encourage the listeners today to make sure that you're giving God your all because he has. If you've been changed, if you've been born again, if you have accepted Christ into your life, you owe him everything. Amen. And back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Hooper. Oh, how grateful we are, and oh, how thankful we are for God to have changed our lives. When we can think, that was a song, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cry out hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. And I can imagine in my mind and my heart the gratefulness and the thankfulness that was upon Mary Magdalene because of the life that she lived, because of the change, that radical change that came into her life. See, God, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I thank God today for everlasting life. And I thank God that even as Pastor Hooper, as he was again, praise God, to give us that revelation of what God was saying today on this broadcast, was saying in a life transformed. When we can think about our lives within ourselves, we all have a transformed life. We all were sinners saved by the grace of God. Yes, you may not have lived the life of Mary Magdalene. You may not have demons cast out of your body. You may not have been possessed. When we look up the word and say possessed, it's like an evil. It's an evil influence. It is like a persistent torment and spirit that's inside of it. It's like a passion. That evilness is persistently inside of that person. And you can imagine how it was operating in her life. Now, it didn't say that she had one devil, but she had several devils that was operating inside, seven spirits, the in her life. Could you imagine her mindset? You can imagine the tormented mind that she had and no rest that she had. She didn't have any peace of mind. And there are people today that are being tormented by demons, tormented by evil work. But you know what? I thank God that God didn't leave her in the state, didn't leave her in the condition that she was in. But God caused her life to be changed. Those devils and those forces was cast out. Deliverance was made manifest. And you know what? She began to be so grateful. Don't you remember the day when God came into your life? Do you not remember the day? You know what you used to do. You know how you was at the club. You know how you used to be falling off on the floor with being possessed with alcohol. And you know how it was when you had the drugs. And you know how it was when you was committing adultery and fornication. You know how it was when you used to be a liar. You know how it was when you used to be a whoremonger. You know how you was addicted to that lifestyle. But when God came in, when you was transformed, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Spirit. So therefore, I can imagine a pastor Hooper, what this woman felt. I can imagine her, she having a life transformed. She was transformed, and if she didn't do it herself, but the Spirit of the Most High God. So therefore, you know what? I thank God that God have no respect of person. It doesn't matter what was done on yesterday or 5 years before God changed. Even as God changed her life, God will transform our life. And I'm so excited of what God is saying today. And again, thank you, Pastor Hooper, for sharing with us from that Luke, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd, was giving us those insight, bringing things up, stirring things up in our inner spirit, and showing us where God, what God done and did for this lady. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to get ready, and we're going to move even a little bit closer, and we're going to go to our second subtopic, and that is Devoted Hera. And we are going, and that is taken from John, the 20th chapter, 1st through the 9th verse, and we're going to go to Pastor Francina Shank, and we would like to take this opportunity to welcome her to the Breakthrough Broadcast, and she's going to let the Lord speak to her, and as he speaks to her, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to give you what you need for this day and this hour. Pastor Francina Shanks, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and all the ministers that are sitting on the panel today. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. As I go into the scripture of John, the 20th chapter and the 1st verse, it says, the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. That word sepulchre means tomb. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. That was John. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and see the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin that was about his head, about Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture that said he must rise again from the dead. Praise God. To God be the glory. You see, Mary, I'm going to take it from the text, Devoted Herald. Mary was that Devoted Herald. When she went to the tomb, her and the other women went early that morning, and she saw the tomb was empty, she went back and told the disciples. The word herald means messenger, a person that carries messages and makes announcements or brings news of. And that's what she was. She was a messenger. She went back. She was that herald, that messenger that went back and told the disciples, the Lord is not in the tomb. So they ran to see if what she had said was true. So when they got there, they didn't see Jesus' body in the tomb. The book of Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good things of good, that publish salvation, that says unto Zion, thy God reigns. Well, you see, Mary was a herald. She went back and told them what she saw in the tomb, that the Lord was not there. And Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things. Praise God. You see, God has called all of us to be messengers just like Mary was. Mary was the first one to go to the tomb and look in and see that the Lord had risen. I mean, was not there. And then she went back and told his disciples he was not there. And so we, like Mary, must go and tell the message or publish the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are lost, and also to preach to them that are the heirs of salvation. We're all called to be messengers for the Lord, and to God be the glory. You know, a lot of us have been through a lot of things. And like Mary, when she went to that tomb and she didn't saw Jesus, she didn't know, and they didn't either, what the scripture had said, that he would rise again on the third day. They didn't know that. That revelation had not been revealed to them. But like Mary, you might be in a situation where you have experienced death in your family. So you know Jesus is the answer. He will bring you peace. He will lift that grief off of you. It's a process. It's a time. But Jesus is the answer. A lot of us have dead things in our life that God wants to resurrect. You might have a dead marriage, but if you give it to Jesus, he will resurrect your marriage. If it's his will for you to stay in that marriage, it depends on what kind of marriage it is. You might be in a marriage of abuse. That don't mean God wants you to stay in there and be physically abused by that spouse. Praise God. But he will make a way for you to escape. Praise the Lord. There are different dead things in our life. You might be discouraged. You might have been in a place of disappointment. But if you just trust in Jesus, he will deliver you. He will encourage you. He will bring you out. He will resurrect your life. Your life might be down. You might be feeling disappointed. You might have lost your job. But I'm telling you today that Jesus will resurrect your life. He will resurrect your joy. He will resurrect your peace. All you have to do is give your life to him. And then as he does that, just like with me, he will call you to go out and tell others about what he has done and will do, because we're all called to be messengers of the Lord. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. And I will turn this back over to Dr. McCoy. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his name. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Pastor Shank, for sharing with us on that Devoted Herald. And I mean, when you began to just to think about, even as she began to, as God enlightened her and God had visually showed her and given a revelation about Devoted Herald, and we began to think about heralds. David, she would say, we begin to think about a messenger from God. And she would say that we are all messengers. Can you just imagine that, that God has allowed us? And you know, everybody can't be a messenger for God. We're talking about those people that have given their lives for Christ. We're talking about those people that have said yes to God's will and yes to his way. We're talking about those people that God have put the word deep down inside. We're talking about those new believers that can go and tell somebody that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So I thank God because of the fact of her devotion that she had to Christ. See, when God, when you haven't really experienced things in your life, when you haven't really, sometimes when people haven't really gone through things in their life, then they kind of take God for granted. You know, they don't really love him the way that they should love him. They don't really embrace him the way that they ought to embrace him. So what I'm saying, this woman that have gone through much, she had so much of love for Christ. And when we start looking at our lives, when we start looking at ourselves, you know, it's so much that we have done. You may say, oh, I was a good tutu. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't go this place. And, oh, no, I wasn't in drugs. I didn't sell drugs. And I wasn't on the corners. And I wasn't a hooker. I wasn't this and I wasn't there. But yet you were a sinner. And if Christ didn't save your life, then you would have died and you would have gone to hell. But thank by the grace of God that God, he loved us so much. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even in our sin, Christ died for us. But then we had to make a choice to choose ye this day who we were going to serve. Were we going to serve the gods of this world, the people of this world, the things of this world? Or are we going to serve the true and living God? So I thank God that she was able to show her appreciation to God. She was able to go and tell. She didn't sit down on the good news. She didn't sit down on what she had been given. Like many people just sit down on what God had given them, but she was that herald. She was able to go forth, and she was able to proclaim, and she was able to share and let them know about our Savior. And so it is for us today. We ought to be able to go, and we ought to be able to share. We ought to be able to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, to let them know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world. And while we are waiting to go to that same area, we're going to just go at this point to Miss Helen Watson, and we'd like to welcome Miss Helen Watson to the Breakthrough broadcast. And we would like to just go a little bit under personal reflection, and we'd like to ask Miss Watson, how have you ever shown your appreciation to God for all the things that he has done for you in your life? So sometimes we got to make this thing personal. Somebody else may have shown their relationship, but how did you show your appreciation to the God Almighty? Ms. Helen Watson.
Praise God, Dr. McCoy, and thank you once again for inviting me on the Breakthrough broadcast. So my panelists that are on today, I welcome you all. And that question, that personal reflection, how I've shown my appreciation to God for all he has done for me. For one, let me say, I could never give him enough praise. Whatever I do, I can praise him all my life and still never give him the praise that is due to him, the devotion that is due to him. I can run as hard as I can for him in this life and still I can never give him enough appreciation. But the way that I give my appreciation to him is I live for him. I lift him up. I praise him. I honor him. I put him before anything. He is the head of my life. He is Lord of my life. He is everything in my life. He is my Savior. He is my protector. He is my provider. I can never say thank you enough to him. No matter what I do, I can never say, but I do the best that I can, and that means putting him first every day, waking up with him on my mind in the morning. He is the first thing. He gets my first attention every morning. And whatever I do, I give him the praise in it. I don't care if it's a job that I got a promotion on, my children succeeding in life, even if I get little bitty things, even if I'm short on cash and I got food to eat, I give him the praise for everything. He is my all in all. He is my everything, and I keep him first in my life, only him first in my life. Everything else is secondary to God, to him, to the Lord. He is everything in my life. He is my savior, my champion. He is everything. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson, for sharing with us and giving us a personal reflection on what God, your gratitude, your appreciation for what God has done in your life. Pastor Hooper, would you like to give a personal reflection on that same question, please? Would you like to share with us?
Amen, Dr. McCoy. For me, have you know, the way I show my appreciation is by giving thanks, and I try to reflect mostly from the heart on the things that I truly know that God has done, that I can truly see the manifestation of change because how He has touched the situation. Just giving Him thanks, and by giving thanks, also just being appreciative that God actually does love. He does love me. You know, because sometimes we can experience so many things as we walk with God, and we even with people that we know and we love and that we sometimes we congregate with and we fellowship with, sometimes you don't feel the love because we all have circumstances that we face and we all have our own, you know, our own paths and everything. And so you may not feel the love as much, but, you know, just remembering that God, when nobody else is there, God is always there. He's always concerned, even of the least of things in our life. And I just like to even get down to the smallest detail, whether it was an illness or whether it was something that seemed there was no way out of or there was no way, you know, through it. And I see how the hand of the Lord was in it. And so I just always try to acknowledge everything that I can see, feel, or sense that He's in. And also one more thing is just to continue to be obedient to what He said for us to do and how we should conduct ourselves and live our life. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you again, Dr. Cooper. At this time, we're going to the second part of our topic, and again, we're just so happy to have with us always Evangelist Jeremy Spencer, and she is going to come, and she always blesses us and give us that revelation even more as to what God is doing. So she's going to talk to us about devoted peril as well. Welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast, Evangelist Spencer.
Praise the Lord to the Breakthrough Broadcast, and praise the Lord, Dr. McCoy, and giving to God, thank you for being on Breakthrough Broadcast. And I just would like to add to the part, devoted. It means feeling or displaying strong affection or attachment. Having been consecrated, also means loyalty, devotion, to set apart, to be zealous, to be devoted, a cause or an idea or a purpose, and exclusively to a purpose or use. Concerned, caring, constant, faithful, and steadfast. And here we see that Mary, that she was all that, and once she received Christ and He had delivered her, and how she became steadfast, she became faithful with Him, for Him, that she was able to become that messenger. And I'm looking at here at the part two where she came to the tomb and it was night, and I look at how when we give our life to Christ, how we become messengers, and that we are to, you know, go out and to reach those that are in darkness, and we are to be that light to them, to show them to the greater light. And in that darkness, you know, that darkness can be in a place that we are not even familiar with, but God knows that if He give us being His messengers, we have to be obedient to go where He tells us to go and to whom He tells us to go to. And I also would like to point out the part here in verse 7 where it says, and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And one thing I found out that when you're in a restaurant and you get up, you know, to leave, and if you're done, you just usually just drop your napkin, you know, you just drop it, leave it loosely on the table. That signifies to the waitress or the waiter you're serving that, in other words, you are done. But here in the scripture, you notice that Jesus, in other words, folded the napkin or wrapped it together, in other words, and it was the one that was about his head. And when you find a napkin that is folded, that signifies to the servant or the waitress or waiter that you are coming back, that you are coming back, that you are not done. So here Jesus signified with the napkin being folded and later that he was going to return. And we know that Christ is coming back. We know that he is coming back. And also, and I'd like to point out the fact that too, that being obedient, and she ran and she told exactly, you know, what, in other words, that needed to be told. She didn't add no more to it. She didn't take from, you know, the word of God, but she went and just spoke what needed to be spoken. And, you know, a lot of times as messengers, you know, because the word of God said do not add and do not take from the word of God, that as a messenger you have to be obedient to go, you know, and to those, go to those people that are in darkness or the situation of wherever darkness may be and speak what the Holy Spirit, what the Lord is giving you to speak to them, because in your being obedient to speak what he's saying to speak, that's how you bring them out into the light. You know, not adding your opinion, your thoughts, but being just obedient and faithful to him and saying that you are, in other words, going to be devoted and that you are going to be, in other words, that herald, that that messenger that that's going to proclaim the good news and be that forerunner, because also herald means to be a forerunner, that you're being that forerunner. Amen. In other words, to tell him that Christ is coming back. Get your house in order, you know, and also to let the people know that, you know, he has become head of all things. He is the head, you know, of the church, and he is the head, you know, of the body of Christ. And I look at that in how, in other words, he wants to bring us into that place that we are in order when he does return, that we don't have to stop and be, you know, wondering, you know, do I have this together? Do I have that in order? But allow him to show us once we give our life to him. Amen. The things that, hallelujah, that we need to get rid of, that we need to stop doing, that we come into that greater light. Amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Again, thank you, Evangelist Spencer. How awesome. We thank God for that revelation. And I was just listening to her. I've got a demonstration sharing with us a with the napkin, and then she was telling us about what devoted mean, and she's telling how, you know, that strong feeling that you have, the strong feeling that Mary Magdalene had, the strong feeling that she had towards God. And also she was saying that, just talking to us, it means about being a forerunner. It's about being loyal, she says. It's nothing like a lawyer person. When you got a lawyer person, when a person that is a lawyer to Christ, when a person is even in the natural, you know, is lawyer, you know, how appreciative we are and how thankful we are. But when a person will be lawyer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in their commitment to him, in their faithfulness, as she said, using the word, as a person that is faithful, and not only faithful, but being steadfast, being unmovable. So I thank God that all of these attributes, all of these things that God has given to his servant, and all of these things that God would give unto us as well. And many of us that God has blessed and God has called us to be steadfast and unmovable. God has called us to be faithful, faithful to God first and faithful to the mission, patient to the cause and whatever it may be. I think it's just nobody but God. Because the Bible said that we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened us. So it's not that we cannot do it. It's not that we cannot be faithful. It's not that we cannot do righteous and do and live according to God's word and be committed unto Him. God needs more committed people. Those people that's not going to make excuses for what they cannot do, but God is looking for those people that's going to be committed and faithful to His word, going and telling others about Him and letting them know that even in the scripture, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then, you know, even as I was thinking about the thief on the cross, I think about that thief that was on that cross. That person was on a cross, and that they were going to crucify that thief. But yet, God, he was getting ready to die. But yet, he sees a transformation. He was able to see something different. His eyes did not, and his mind and his heart wasn't the same way that it was before it was on that cross. But he began to see the greatness and the goodness, and he began to see that he could have salvation in Christ Jesus. And he said to Jesus, he said, "Remember him when thou comest into thy paradise." And so therefore, God let him know today, not tomorrow, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So if we can just say yes to God's will and yes to His way, that we, it's not that we do that physical death, although we don't know where death is, but we don't know sometimes when Christ is coming, because He says He coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So that thief was able to have everlasting life. That thief was able to be saved. And that's the same thing, no matter what. Yes, he was a thief, and the other was, I believe, a murderer. And no matter what you've done, sometimes we try to, within ourselves, we try to put degrees of sinful things that people have done. Oh no, this person can't. Oh, this person, this person committed adultery. This person was a streetwalker. This person was a liar, a thief. But you know what? The Bible says all transgression, all the word of God will say all unrighteousness is sin. So no, if it's unright, it can cause us to lose our place. It can cause us to lose our relationship. It can cause us not to be able to be saved. So I thank God for Evangelist Spencer, how she came to us and she told us about John and the book of John in the 20th chapter, verse through the 9th verse. And we also thank God for Pastor Francina Shank as she shared with us about the herald. And it was just so much. I hope you're listening, radio audience, and I know that you are, and I know that you can't help but be blessed by the men and the women of God that God has put here on Breakthrough Broadcast. And we know that there's something that you may be going through, that you may be struggling with, that you need Jesus to move on your behalf, that you need Jesus to give you that breakthrough, that you need Jesus to show you the way. So we just want to thank God today for His amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. At this time, we're getting ready to go to our last subtopic, which is sing. What an awesome topic. It says, sing Christ's clearly. I just love it. Seeing Christ clearly. And that is taken from John, from St. John, the New Testament, 20th chapter, 10 through the 18th verse. And we're going to welcome Pastor Andre Spencer to the Breakthrough broadcast.
I first like to give thanks and honor to our Lord in the name of our beloved Savior. I thank the Lord for Dr. McCoy for doing what he has put up on her heart. Say hello to the panelists and just give praise unto God for each and every one that is listening today. Hallelujah. And it's coming from the book of John chapter 20, and it's seeing Christ clearly. Beginning at the 10th verse, it says, then the disciples, went away again unto their home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that she had spoken those things, and that he had spoken those things unto her. Amen. And like I said, the topic is seeing Christ clearly. And the thing is that Mary went there looking for the Lord. And once she got there and she seen that he wasn't in the tomb, she was weeping, stooped down weeping. And that's a way that we can get into seeing Christ clearly, is when we weep at the feet of the Lord. When we bend to our knees and we just go into weeping because of things that is in our life, and we're not, hallelujah, seeing things clearly, get before God. Get on your knees and just worship the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah, because she was concerned, hallelujah, that his body had been taken someplace and she wasn't going to be able to attend to him. When we get the mindset that we have to be attentive to the things of the Lord, hallelujah, we can see clearly what Christ is trying to do in our lives with us and for us. Because in the book of John, chapter 10, it reads, hallelujah, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth out his sheep by name and leadeth them out. And then goes on to say, a stranger they will not follow, for his sheep know his voice. Hallelujah. She heard his voice. When she heard his voice, she realized that it was him. Now, she looked upon him and didn't recognize him. But when he spoke to her, she knew who it was automatically. Hallelujah. We got to get into that place where we're hearing the Lord speaking to us. Hallelujah. So we'll know for sure that it is him who is telling us what he wants us to do or telling us what he doesn't want us doing. Because it is so important to know our Lord and Savior. And to see him clearly is to be walking in obedience, to know how that what we're doing is of the Lord. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, and verse 20, David spoke unto the Lord. He said, Lord, you know your servant intimately. Hallelujah. That is something that we have to make sure that we're doing. We're getting to be intimate with our Lord and Savior, that we're putting him first. We're, hallelujah, loving on him like we've never loved anybody else. We're allowing him to make the changes in our lives, taking away bitterness and giving us joy, taking away unforgiveness that we forgive, because he is the only one, hallelujah, that can do these things for us. Then we start seeing our way clearly as to how we're supposed to be living, hallelujah, in his behalf. Because it says here that she could see him. When she turned, she saw him. She could see him, seeing him clearly. And that word see is from a Greek word, and it says it is to gaze with open eyes at something remarkable, with open eyes. Hallelujah. We have to have our eyes open to the things of God, the things that God is telling us that he wants us to do, how he wants us to get along with each other, what it is that he has for us. Our eyes have to be open. There was a great prophet, and he had a servant that was with him, and he saw all the natural men that were surrounding them, and he said, Lord, what are we going to do? For the company against us is great. And the prophet prayed. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see that those who are for us are more than those against us. And the Lord opened that man's natural, spiritual eyes, and he saw all the host of heaven camped about them that was ready to defend them. When we, hallelujah, seek God with our whole heart, he opens our eyes that we see, hallelujah, that he is more, hallelujah, who is for us than anything that can be against us. But it goes back to, hallelujah, being able to be in that place. Like Mary, she was weeping. She was stooping down. She was crying. Hallelujah. She was, hallelujah, heartfelt. We got to be heartfelt for God. Hallelujah. Let God know, God, this is it. You are my all in all, my everything. And everything that I want to do, hallelujah, Lord, let me base it upon your word, what you have given me to do. And then the thing about it was is Mary went to tell, hallelujah, the others that she had saw the Lord and he had spoken to her, but they didn't believe her. It does not matter who doesn't believe, hallelujah, what the Lord has spoke to you. Hallelujah. You believe and trust in God. Hallelujah, that what he has said for you to do, that's what's going to matter in your walk with God. Because the Bible says, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. So it's about you and the Lord, what God is telling you to do so you can keep your relationship with him, so you'll keep seeing clearly what he has in store for you to do and what he has in store for you, the greater blessings. So we have to be faithful to God, to do what God is telling us, and this is how we'll be able to see clearly who our Lord and Savior truly is, because he said he is not a man that he can lie. So anything that he tells you, you can take confidence in that it's going to take place. This is seeing clearly, trusting in God, believing in God, and doing what God says to do. So I pray that each and every one, that the eyes be open to God for everybody who is listening. And hallelujah, you won't be concerned about what other people are saying and doing. You'll just meditate and you'll do what God is leading you to do. Hallelujah. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you again, Pastor Spencer, for that insight on seeing Christ clearly. At this time, we're going to go to Miss Helen Watson. And as always, we're excited to hear from her and to hear what revelation that God has given her through the Word of God. And at this time, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome Miss Helen Watson again to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you again, Dr. McCoy. As I was listening to Pastor Spencer expound on the, we're coming from, again, John 20, 10 through 18, and I was listening to him as he expounded, and I was when I was reading and studying this week, and exactly what he is saying about Mary, but here we see her as we started off with Pastor Hooper, when he was saying what his topic was, life being transformed, because 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 said any man is in Christ, you know, is a new creature. And here we see Mary is being transformed. And then we see her in the second part of our text, of our study, as being a devoted herald. And here we see her, when we come to our last topic, seeing him clearly. So all this comes in our last topic here, seeing him clearly. And when Mary saw him and he started to speak to her, like Pastor Spencer said, she did not recognize him. She did not. But when he called her name, Mary, she recognized his voice, and the scales dropped from her eyes, and she saw him clearly. She saw her Christ. She saw her Savior. She saw her teacher. She saw her rabbi, what she called him, and she knew him. So this is where it all begins right here, where she, and then he tells her, he gives her instructions on what to do. Like Pastor Spencer said, no matter who believes what God has told you, you do what God would have him for him to do, what he told you to do, you have to go and do it. She did not waste time and ask questions. She went to do what God told her to do. She went to tell the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She had seen Christ. So here we see Mary as that devoted herald, as that messenger of God, and she went, and she did not waste any time in doing it. And we need to take an example for Mary. When God tells us to do something, we need to get in a hurry for him. We need to do what he lays on our heart. We need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to hear his voice clearly. And when the scales fell from her eyes, she saw him clearly. But his voice, when he spoke her name, we need to have that relationship with God, that when he speaks to us, we know it is him. We know we don't have any concerns. We don't have any inklings. We don't have any misconceptions. We need a clear communication with God. But when he said her name, and that's what stuck out in me, verse 16, when he said, Mary. And right away, she knew who he was. She may not have known him when he was speaking to her, but when he called her name, she realized the scales dropped from her eyes. They opened. She saw him. She knew who he was. She heard his voice, and she was excited. This is her Lord. This is her teacher. And she got in a hurry to do his will. She got in a hurry to do his work. So we need to just take that listening audience from Mary and get in a hurry for God, because these are the times that God would have us to come out of our churches, to come out of our comfort zones and get in a hurry for him, to get on the battlefield, to do the things that he has set to our hands, to get out there to finish his work, because we have a race to run. We have a war to fight. We are warriors for Christ. He is our champion. We should be doing everything we can to uplift him, to build the kingdom, and that is what Mary was doing. She went straight away to his disciples to tell them what she had seen, what he had told her to tell them. Even though they didn't believe her, she did not care. She didn't say, Lord, you know, they might not accept me. They might not believe. But she went anyway without any hesitation, and we need to do that today and this day and time. We need to get in a hurry for God. We need to take business, because I know when we take care of his business, he always takes care of our business, and we don't have to worry about that. He's our Savior. He's everything to us. So just to sum it up, what Pastor Spencer said, he's exactly right, and that's what God had given me about it. But verse 16 just stuck out in my mind, because when he called her name, because you know when God calls your name, you cannot deny. If you know him to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be your Christ, to be the head of your life, when he calls your name, you know it's him. And like you said, they know it, his sheep know his voice, and another they will not follow. So when God calls your name, you know it's him clearly, and you can go do his work in excellence. You can do it precisely for how he gives it to you to do. So we see Mary here as all of those, the devoted hero, her life transformed. We see all her putting that all into action. And again, listening audience, this is what we need to do for Christ this day and time. It's time for us to just get on the grind for the Lord. We need to do this. He is coming back soon. And I don't know why we're sitting and waiting. We're holding this conference. We're holding that conference. And all this information that we're gathering, what are we doing with it? Are we going to God's people? Are we drawing the people in? Are we doing what God would have us to do? We are disciples for the Lord. Everybody, all of us, that says that he's our Father, that we follow the Lord, that we're saved, we're sanctified, we're everything for him. He's the head of our life. We need to get on the battlefield. We need to do this thing for Christ. And back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Ms. Watson, for sharing with us on that topic that you have given. And thanks, God, for the enlightenment. And thank God for what God has given you and Pastor Andre Spencer to give to his people today. And we, as people of God, we need to hear, and not just to hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to hear the word of God, and we need to be doers of the word of God. We need to do what God has called us to do these last days, and we need to be quick about what God has called us to do. And even as Mary Magdalene, even as she was quick, and even as she went about to was faithful in a walk with Christ, and Christ came into her life, that's the same way, because God has come. If you're saved, if you've been born again, your life has been changed. If you could be that Nicodemus, you know, that Christ said that you must be born again. And see, God wasn't just talking to him. He's talking to every person that's upon the face of the earth, that we need to be born again. I heard Ms. Watson say, when God called him and your name, you ought to know. You ought to know the shepherd boy when God called your name. I believe, and I began to think about the man of God, Eli, when the prophet Samuel was there as a young man and was in that temple, and God had a purpose for his life, and he God began to call him, and he didn't know the voice of God at that time, but we find out that the man of God, Eli, had to let him know when God answered. You know, then he was able to know that that was God. And that's the same thing with us, that we hear. And that with God speaking to us, it should not be a foreign, it will never be a foreign language that we cannot hear, that we cannot understand. I remember when God called my name at different times. I could be, I've been in my room, and I was asleep. And I could hear God say, "Mary, Mary." And when I've gotten up to hear the way the voice, you know how you hear somebody call your name, and I knew it had to be God that was calling my name. There's nobody else that would call your name like God. But until you get familiar, and see, that's what Samuel had to get familiar with who was calling his name and who was speaking unto him, because if we don't know who's speaking to us, then we could be easily led astray. But I thank God that we, as people of God, as we spend time with him on our knees, I believe one of the panelists even gave us that invitation, that thought process to be able to pray, because the word of God says that man should always pray and not faint. And then we look at that, again, the thing about prayer. Prayer is that communication with God. That prayer is, it bridges the gap between heaven and earth. We need to be able to communicate with God. We need to be able to pray, and we need to be able to know him even in a greater way. We spend time with him, but we have that open communication with him, and let him speak into our lives, and we begin to make our petition, and not just praying for ourselves, but we need to pray one for another. So you know what? I'm just so excited even about that last topic, seeing Christ clearly. We need to be able to see Christ clearly, and I thank God again for Pastor Andre Spencer and Ms. Helen Watson, as they gave us insight on that particular topic. And what we want to ask now, have you ever missed what Jesus was trying to tell you? I'm going to ask the panelists this. Have you ever missed what Jesus was trying to say to you? And at this time, we're going to go to Evangelist Jervin Spencer, and we're going to let her share with us, please.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I think of the time that the Lord was ministering to me about a situation where this lady had said some things that was really, really nasty to me, and the flesh part of me wanted to come back and, you know, go into that place, but the Holy Spirit in a small, still voice, and he said, do not, amen, do not, you know, do that. You know, I've called you to better and stuff, and that was a part, in other words, where I was about to miss it, and the Lord spoke to me and told me, amen. And so now, just like you say, and then, you know, and I give God praise for that part. And then there was a situation where that the Lord was telling me to, amen, to bless someone, and you know, and I was like, I had a real struggle with it and stuff, and it eventually ended up that I didn't do it. I wasn't obedient, with it. What, because I was looking at the natural. I was looking at the natural and stuff. So after I didn't do it and stuff, and the Lord gave me a vision, and he showed me a red F on a paper. And I was like, oh, Lord. And he was let me knew that I failed. I failed that test. And you know, now we think about that, you know, hey, when we're in school, there are tests that we do in the natural. There are tests that we do fail. And then when we, you know, give our life to Christ, there are times that we do fail. But I thank God that he's a God of a second chance and more, because there was an opportunity that did come about again where I had to take that test over. And praise be to God, I did, amen, pass the test the second time. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you again, Evangelist, for sharing with us. And we're going to go to Pastor Francina Shanks, and we're going to ask her that same question. Pastor Shanks?
Praise the Lord, Dr. McCoy. I can remember failing the Lord. I remember a particular time when the Lord told me, when I was evangelizing at the time on the streets, to tell a person, you know, just tell them Jesus loves you. And I didn't obey God at that time, and I failed that. And I repented of it. And I was reading this book about Smith Wigglesworth. He was called the Apostle of Faith over in Great Britain during that time. And he was a great soul winner for the Lord. And I remember reading a story about him and how the Holy Ghost just prompted him to go here and do that, to minister to lost souls. And Smith obeyed the Lord, and he did it. And he did it with this man one day, and this man led this man to the Lord. And it was some weeks after that, his mother mentioned the man to him and told him, say, the man was talking about you. And when she described you, I knew that was you. And he led that man to the Lord, because that man died. And so after I read that story about Smith Wigglesworth, I made up in my mind to always, when the Spirit prompt me, to tell a soul anything, to tell them, you know, whether it's Jesus loves you, or if God leads me on into other things, you know, of salvation or to repentance, whatever. So I did miss it, and I have missed it a lot of times. But I thank God, as the evangelist said, that he's the God of another chance. Because the world like to say he's a God of a second chance, but God opened up to me. He said, I'm more than a God of a second chance. He said, I'm a God of another chance. That means he keeps on, and the Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets up. So we got to know that he's the God of another chance, more than a second chance. He's the God of another chance, because he's so good and he's so merciful. And I give God all the honor and the glory. As I turn it back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Pastor
Shane.
At this time, we just thank God for his amazing grace. I say amazing grace, how sweet it sounds. And I just thank God for his amazing grace. And some and all of us, we may not have all committed the same sin. We may not have all did the same thing. But yet, because of God's love for us, because of his mercy, because of his compassion that he has for all of us, then he has forgiven us for our sin, whether or not we were white or black, or yellow or red. It doesn't matter whether we were male or female, whether we were that boy or girl, whether or not it didn't matter. Christ, when we were willing, when we said yes to God's will, when we said yes to his ways, then God forgave us for our sins. He came into our hearts, and he saved us. And I just thank God, because you know what? It did not, and some of us didn't come to Jesus all at one time. We may have heard the gospel of the good news. We may have heard of the preaching of the gospel, but yet God didn't give up on us. You know, sometimes we give up on people. You know, sometimes we give up on people. I'll say that again. And God don't want us to give up on people. You know, if Mary Magdalene was in the day that we, in the time that we live in today, somebody would say, I don't want anything to do with that demonic. I don't want to have anything to do with that person because she has an evil spirit. I don't want to talk to that schizophrenic or that bipolar person. I don't want to have anything to do with that drunkard. You know, I don't want to be able in order to conversate or to say the thing with them. But Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. And it wasn't the ones that, just the ones in the blue suit and the two-piece suits or whatever that person may be wearing. He didn't come back for just those people. He came back for the people on the corners, for the people that's in prison, for the people that's in jail, for the people that are in the in the bars. He came back that they can have a life, a right to the tree of life. So Breakthrough Broadcast is here in order to bring souls to the kingdom of God. A Breakthrough Broadcast is here that souls can be saved and lives can be changed. Breakthrough is here to heal the broken heart and to bind up those wounds by the word of God. See, we cannot do it, but Christ can. So at this time, we again would like to take this opportunity for being able to reach whatever area of the United States of America, upon whatever continent, whatever state, whatever city, whatever it may be, because there are lost souls everywhere. There are lost souls that's on your street that you need to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And we just want to take this opportunity today. And we're going to go before the Most High God. And we're going to ask in the name of Jesus. We're going to ask Pastor Eric Kruger to extend the invitation for souls to be saved and lives to be changed. And after he does that, then we're going to go to Pastor Andre Spencer, and he's going to pray. We're going to ask him to pray for the people that are being saved, the people that said yes to God's will and yes to his way. And then we're just going to believe God for him, for the souls that are being saved even now, and for the lives that are being changed. Pastor Hoover.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. To all the listeners out there in Radio Land today, and we just want to extend this invitation today. The Word of God says that the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And also the Scriptures declare that no man can come to the Father except he draw them. And for you who are listening today, it's not a coincidence that you're listening. It's not a coincidence that you're still tuned in, because the Lord has truly been speaking to you. If you've heard some things today that pertain to your personal situations in your life, that's because the Lord has need of you. He's calling you. He's knocking on the door of your heart today. But the question is, will you allow him to come in and be your Lord? Because on the day of judgment, he's not going to, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, he's not going to be Lord. He's not going to be Savior, but he will be your judge. So the thing about it is, today is your day. So right now, we just want to extend the invitation for you to come in to experience God's love, God's the relationship that he has in store for you, the purpose as well as the plan. But none of that can be achieved without you first acknowledging who Christ is. And he is the Son of the living God. He is the Savior for all mankind, for whosoever will come unto him and to acknowledge him as that. So therefore, today we just want you to open up your heart and by your faith, because every man is given a measure of faith, just begin to believe on him and to embrace him and to accept him right now, because he is Lord and he is Savior. And as you heard many of the panelists today testify how the Lord has been to them, the wonderful works and the blessings, the testimonies, the transformations, all of these things they've done just simply because we believe and we have accepted and we have embraced Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, who is the Son of God. So right now we just extend this invitation to you. We just invite you to come and partake of the Lord as we have partaken of him in this relationship that he's given us that's eternal. Amen. I turn it over to my brother, Pastor Andre.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we come before you right now, and your word says that no man goeth unto the Father except through the Son. Lord, my prayer today is that, Father God, hallelujah, those that are listening, O Lord, they will accept, hallelujah, Father God, your Son, O Lord, that they may come unto you. I pray that you touch each and every heart, Father God, right now, that they get on bended knees, O Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, they lift their hands up unto you, O Lord, and they seek you, Father God, with a whole heart to turn, Father God, from anything that is not like you, O Lord, that they may turn to the true, holy, and righteous God. That, Father God, they may have life eternal with you. For our Lord said that I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Father, I pray that they hunger and thirst for the life that is more abundant, Father God. Hallelujah. That, Father God, hallelujah, they'll get to know you, O Lord, as you know them, Father God, intimately. That, Father God, they'll desire only the things, Father God, that will benefit the kingdom, O Lord, turning away from the things of the world. For your word says, love not the things of the world, but you love the things of the world. The love of the Father is not in you. I pray, Father God, that everything that is of you shall be in each and every one who receives you today, who will accept you, Father God. I pray, Father God, hallelujah, that you'll do miraculous things in their lives, O Lord, that they may see, hallelujah, O Lord, the workings of your power in their life. But, Father God, I just pray, O Lord, that they'll, Father God, allow you, Father God, to come in and heal their hearts, O Lord. Hallelujah, that they may receive, hallelujah, Father God, our beloved Savior, Father God, that they may come unto you, O Lord, wholeheartedly, O Lord. Hallelujah, Father God, that they may receive the benefits of the kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we pray these things, O Lord, that, hallelujah, those who are in the grip of the enemy, O Lord, shall be turned over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Cooper and Pastor Spencer. You know, even as I was sitting here and the Lord began to put on my heart, you know, there are people during the times of the time at the end of the broadcast, we began to pray because for people that are going through infirmities and sickness in their bodies. And we know that God is a God that healeth. He paid the price 2,000 years ago for our healing and for our deliverance. So first of all, we're going to ask Pastor Francina Shanks. She came to my mind because I really want her to. She did a testimony from a few weeks ago, and she, as a woman of God, had to stand on God's word in behalf of her daughter. So I'm going to ask her to give that testimony to us again. And immediately after that, we're going to ask Ms. Helen Watson to come and to pray for those that are sick and those that have infirmities in their bodies. And I wanted her to pray because of the fact that, again, because of the fact that God has done great and mighty things in her. Through her body, through prayer, because she also has a testimony. And I can even ask either one of them to do what I'm asking the both of them to do. But I'm going to ask, first of all, Pastor Francina Shanks to give that testimony of what God did and what the doctors have said concerning her daughter. And right after that, I want Ms. Helen Watson to come and to pray. Pastor Francina.
Praise the Lord, Dr. McCoy, again. This was in the year 2005. The Lord had showed me the tumor that my daughter had. He told me she had cancer, and I never told my daughter. And the Lord just had me to continue to intercede for her in prayer. And the Lord told me that the sickness was not unto death but for his glory, that he was going to get the glory out of it. So anyway, my daughter wound up going to the hospital. I went with her and everything, and that was on a Saturday. I went back that Sunday to see her, and she told me, Mama, they have me on the cancer floor. She said, I don't have cancer. So I didn't say anything to her. And when I went back like the following week, the Lord, I had called my sister and my nieces. They all came down, and my niece drove me to the hospital along with my sister and everything. And anyway, the doctor called me into the conference room, and my sister went in with me. And the doctor told me that they had never seen a tumor like the one my daughter had. They say they don't know what to call it, but they told me that it had broken through her rib cage and was wrapping around her heart. And he told me to get her ready for hospital. Sitting there looking at the doctor, and I was communing with the Lord in my heart, and I was saying to the Lord, that is not what you told me, Lord. Glory be to God. To God be the glory. And the doctor said to me, he said, well, you know we doctors are not God, but we will be praying for her. So I said, well, doctor, do me a favor. I say, I know you're going to tell my daughter about the tumor and all, but please don't tell her she has 5 months to live. So he agreed to that. So he told her about the tumor, but he didn't tell her she had 5 months to live. And so the Lord had told me through my sister, one of my sisters, the one that was in the conference room with me, Catherine, to not to look to the left or the right. And I had to stand on what God told me. And I told my niece to stop crying. And I told all of them, let's go down to the chapel and pray. So we went down to the chapel and prayed. And I just stood on what God told me. He told me my daughter was not going to die, but live. And that was in 2005. And this is 2012. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And my daughter is telling her testimony what the Lord has done to her everywhere she go, all on her job. Because I had prophesied to her in 2003 that God told me to tell her he was going to use her to help women, hurting women. And you got to see, my daughter had surrendered her life to the Lord at one time in 99, but then she got hurt. She got hurt in the church and wounded by her husband. And so she began to pull back from God, but God never left her, because he said in his word, he'll never leave you or forsake you. And my daughter is a witness and a testimony of that. And everywhere she goes, she tells everybody. God be putting cancer people across her path, women that have breast cancer, lung cancer. And she be telling them what the Lord has done for her. And God told me he's slowly wooing my daughter back to him. Slowly wooing her back to him because he loves her. And that's how he loves us. He is so good and so great. And so I just give God all the glory. How my daughter is a testimony telling people and going like Mary Magdalene, that messenger, telling them what the Lord has done for her. And I turn it back over to Dr. McCoy. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Pastor Francina, you have been blessed. And I thank you for sharing that with us. I just feel led. I just felt led to have you to give that testimony today. And at this time, we're going to go to Ms. Helen Watson, and she's going to pray for all of those that have experiencing sickness, infirmity. That was, the doctor may have given you a bad report. The doctor may say you're not going to live, but you're going to die. The doctor may say you don't have 5 months to live, but but the devil is a liar. We're going to go right now to Ms. Helen Watson as she intercedes for whatever it may be. It may not be a tumor, whatever it may be diabetes, it may be heart problem, cardiovascular type problem, coronary type problem. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ms. Watson.
Praise God, Dr. McCoy. Thank you, Jesus. Father, coming to you as humble as we know how, Father God. Right now, Father God, we go before your throne, Father God, for those who have sickness on their body, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to go in the hospitals, Father God, to go into the homes, Father God, to go into the minds of your people right now, Father God, to heal them of any and every infirmity, disease that they might have. The spirit of high blood pressure, Father God, cancer, Father God, with stroke, Father God, anything that has come upon their body, Father God, every foul spirit from the pits of hell, Father God, we come against it right now in your name. Devil, we call you off your assignment right now, Father God. Take your hands off of God's people, Father God. I speak healing, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. Anything, Father God, that the devil has tried to do to your people, Father God, to stop them from doing your work, Father God, ask you to send healing, Father God. Ask you to send deliverance, Father God. Ask you to send the angels, Father God, from your throne, Father God, with the answers, with the medicine, Father God. Have them to walk through the hospital rooms right now, Father God. Ask you to touch everybody, Father God, to touch every mind, Father God, to touch every heart, Father God. Ask you to go in, Father God, and heal and destroy, Father God, what the devil meant for bad, Father God. Ask you to turn it around for your good, Father God. Father, I ask you to bring this prayer, ring it around your throne, Father God. I ask you to answer each and every prayer, Father God, that comes before your throne because of sickness and because of disease and because of infirmities. Father God, I ask you to dispatch your angels right now to whatever problem, Father God, there may be, Father God, in the bodies, Father God, of your people, Father God. Ask you to send healing, Father God. Ask you to send the fire from heaven, Father God. Ask you to lay hands, let people lay hands, Father God. Let your people go out and lay hands, Father God. Ask you to send the fire, Father God, from heaven, Father God, to destroy everything that the devil has set forth, Father God. Devil, right now we call it to not anything that you're trying to do to God's people, Father God. I pray for the spirit of mental illness, Father God. I pray for schizophrenia, Father God. Anything that the devil is sending, Father God, ask you to give your people knowledge and understanding to know the devil when he comes, Father God. The spirit of cancer, I call you off your assignment right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Anyone in the sound of my voice, Father God, ask you to speak healing right now. Send the answer, Father God. Send the healing. Send the deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Anything that your people need, Father God, ask you to put it in their hands. Healing hands, Father God. Anoint hands to heal, Father God. Stir up your people, Father God, that they will touch, that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, Father God. They will raise the dead, Father God. Whatever you set forth for them to do, Father God, that they will do it, Father God. Father God, I ask you every sickness, every infirmity right now in the name of Jesus, we call it to naught. Devil, take your hands off of God's people right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we call it done, we call it done, and we call it done in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Lord God. We just thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for all the prayers that have gone up before the throne of grace. We thank God for all the souls that have been saved and all the lives that have been changed. And we want you, Breakthrough Broadcast, if you're one of those people that have given their lives to God and have said yes to God's will and yes to his way, we want you to, we want to hear about it, and we're going to give you a number that you can call and tell us that today was the day that you received Jesus Christ into your life. Today was the day that you came back to Christ because you was a backslider and you gave your life to Christ. You may be a person that was the enemy and the devil, the doctor may have given you a bad report, and the doctor said that you were going to die and that you were not going to live. The doctor may have given you a bad report of diabetes or any kind of coronary problems or tumors. in the brain, a tumor in the vagina area, in the area, GYN area, whatever it may have been, God is able, even the prostate area, sometimes many of the men are suffering with prostate cancer, and we find that cancer, and I thank God for the covering, as Ms. Watson prayed, the pray, and I thank God for the testimony of praise and victory that God has given through Pastor Shankman today. And I want you to know today that God is still in control, that God still is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of him. So we're getting ready to depart. We're getting ready to end this broadcast, but not our time, not our petition before the Lord, not our prayer, not our intercession before the Most High God. We would like to thank our guest panelists today. We'd like to thank Ms. Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Cooper, Evangelist Jervin Spencer, Pastor Francina Shank, Pastor Andre Spencer, for being our guest today on Breakthrough Broadcast. We truly give God the praise and the glory and the honor for them taking the time out, praise God, to be a blessing, to be able to give what God has given them through the Word of God and to share what God has done in their lives. And that's what God wants us to do, to be able to share, to be able to give out, not to keep stagnated in our walk with Christ, not to keep getting and not pouring out and getting out, but God wants us to be able to get out, to give it out. You may say, God, Lord, how can I do this? How can I give out, tell somebody about Jesus? You know, do you go to the grocery store? Do you go, I don't know how often you go, but there are times when I go to the grocery store, I have me some tracks in my hand, and there may be 15, 20, that means 25 or 30 tracks. I don't call attention to myself, but I go and I hand these tracks out while I'm loading my basket through the grocery store, and I give those tracks out. Why? Because there are souls are on the line. There are people that need to be saved. Lives need to be changed. You know, I do it. I do it for the cause of Christ. I do it because God told us to do it. Are you in a neighborhood that you know that there are people that don't go to church or not saved and in a community that they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Are you in an apartment area or some complex or duplex, or you may be on one of the houses on the hill? I don't know where you live, but there are people there that need to know about Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to take the invitation to give somebody Christ or to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Let them know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let them know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares. Let them know that Jesus he will come into their lives just as he came into yours. So at this time, we're getting ready to end this broadcast, but please, we want you to call a friend, call a neighbor, tell them about the Breakthrough Broadcast, and invite them to be a part of the Breakthrough Broadcast on next Saturday at this time at 4 p.m. And to God be the glory for the great, for the mighty things that he has done. This has been your host of Breakthrough Broadcast, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, telling you to come on, give God the praise, walk in victory, and know